Cornelius Jefferson has personally been very meaningful in my life. When I decided to stop waiting for the world to come to me and to take the theater work that I've been laboring with for over a decade and just produce it, he was one of the first people that I auditioned. The moment I met him, I was like, this guy is not just a great actor, but he's going to be a great friend. So since then, I've been able to see his spirit and his impact on his other. He has a powerful spiritual life, a wonderful family, as well as his creative life. If you're listening to my voice, you are in store for a treat. You know, buckle down, get ready for Cornelius. He's going to be someone that's going to impact you with his words far beyond this podcast. I ask for you all to take mental and physical notes because this will help you and help every single one of us. So buckle in and listen to this podcast with Cornelius Jefferson. Hello, everyone. This is the Rising Tides Charity Podcast. I am so excited today to be talking to one of my friends. I would call him family. He is a phenomenal actor. I know I was listening to some of the previous podcasts, and I tend to use the word phenomenal a lot. So for those of you, that's like maybe that's my catchphrase. But I've seen him do all kinds of work on stage and in other places. He actually is so great that I think he will be taking that foray into teaching at some point. He also, in our production, he played Timothy Barrington, the nemesis anti-hero inside of Super Loser. He was so great. He got so many accolades and feedback from it. So I am so excited to have Cornelius Jefferson, my family, on the phone.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here and to be a part of this. And thank you for this opportunity.
Yeah, Cornelius, real quick, I'm going to ask you to start off a little bit differently than how we used to do the podcast in 2018. In 2018, we'd kind of talk about what was going on with someone, like what were they involved in, that kind of thing. And we will, but I wanted to start it a little bit differently today. And I really wanted to talk about your creative process a little bit. Like, what environments do you use in order for you to think about your creativity? Is it an environment? Is it a tool? Is it a moment? Is it a space? How do you get yourself ready to be creative? Or do you just jump in? Tell us a little bit about that.
It's like a combination of kind of everything that you said. When I am going towards something or trying to be creative and creating and a character, creating an idea, creating an event, I first like to kind of get to myself, get to a space that's clear, that's open. I'll need like a clean room, can't be in somewhere junky. So I need somewhere clear and clean where I can process and think from a clean slate, because I kind of feel like how my environment is how my mind will be. So if my environment is messy, then my mind will be messy. So I like to be in those type of places when I'm getting ready to create. And when it comes to creating a character, I like to really dissect the script and really dissect that person and think about their background, their history, where they're from, and how do I relate to that? Is there any part of them that is in my life? Am I this person in any way? And especially when you're playing a character like Timothy, who is supposed to be the one that no one likes, you have to find what is likable about that kind of character and connect to them so that you can, in a sense, fall in love with him. When I'm creating, as far as ideas, events, it's the same sort of process so that I can be unclouded. In a sense.
Wow. That's great what you said, especially the way you kicked it off with the decluttering approach or the, you know, the clean environment. I wish I could say I'm a master at that myself, but I'm just not. It's like an ongoing process, right, where you've got to
you know, constantly be looking at, you know, what things around you are making you effective or making you creative, and what things are inhibiting you from being creative. I remember when I used to have an office that I would go to, people would make fun of me because they would come to my office and they would like leave a piece of paper on there. And, you know, they would like, they'd have some report and it would be like, no pieces of paper on my desk ever. Because I didn't want, if I'm having a conversation with you, I don't want a piece of paper to be the thing that I'm thinking about when I'm talking to you. I want to be talking to you. And they would make fun of me, like, how can you have a desk that's got nothing on it? I was just like, well, that just makes sense.
You know, it helps your creative mind. You know, you have to do what works for you.
That's
some
right.
People can work in those kind of environments. But I just know for myself, when I'm in a place that's cluttered, my mind is like that. I can't focus. I can't think. I can't birth anything in a crowded place.
Yeah, you're right. I've even taken that to another level, and maybe you have some thoughts on this as well. I've also taken this to like the digital realm, where I don't have as many apps as I used to, like on my phone. I have turned off notifications, for example, for everything except for a few key apps like WhatsApp or messages and phone. That's it. So I get no social media notifications ever about anything. But I do have social media, as anyone who's listened to this podcast know, and I'm very immersed into it. I just kind of take the moment to kind of go to social media versus it coming to me. So I should say, hey, here's my half an hour when I'm going to be on Instagram or something like that. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I definitely relate to that because, I mean, if you go through my phone right now, you'll even see where I keep my homepage clear. I have folders where like apps go together. If you go to my email, I won't have more than 20 emails in there at a time because I have folders on the side that I have to move things to. Because even when I'm going back to recall something, I know where to find it. But if it's cluttered, then I can't find what I'm looking for. So I take the same approach in digitally in my life that I do when it comes to my mind.
It's interesting because I've heard of this term recently called inbox infinity. And that term means that people will keep things in their like their email box forever. And they won't ever move it. Just when I heard that, I tell you, I'm not kidding. When I heard the thought of that, I had like a knot in my stomach when I heard that concept. I was like, what? I totally could not function. You know, even if you moved.
Just throw the whole email away.
Yes. That's cool. So I mentioned earlier about your great skill at acting, and I always tell you when you get that EGOT award to remember the little people that were around when you first started. So I really appreciate
I'll remember
it.
The big people. You're a big person.
So tell us a little bit about you know, the Atlanta creative scene. We've known each other for at least half a decade, if not more. But from your perspective, what's going on in the Atlanta creative scene, whether it's theater or other things that you see?
Well, it's so much. There's so many creative people here in Atlanta. I recently went to an event. I have a friend that she opened her own fashion studio where she's designing her own clothes. Wow. And when she had the pop-up for her store, she invited a lot of different creators, and I got to really mingle and meet a lot of people. There's musicians, there are singers, there are rappers, there are people that paint, people that draw, people that design. I met a gentleman who makes his own tailor-made suits, and he only wears clothes that he makes, and it's amazing stuff. I met stylists. It's wow. So many creatives here in Atlanta. This is like the hub for people that that have those sort of minds and ideas to want to build and start something on their own, a place where entrepreneurs can live and thrive. And I think it's so important to be in a place like Atlanta, because it keeps you inspired. Because when you are an artist, when you are creative, when you're an entrepreneur, it can be difficult at times. You go through rough patches, but when you are surrounded by the like-minded people that can keep you inspired, you'll continue to grow. You'll continue to press even in the hard times.
Wow, that's great. So when you think about what you said there about the hard times, what are some of your thoughts on how would Atlanta, how does it rival? How could it become as, when you think about other places, when you think about like New York or LA, New York's got a great theater scene, right? And LA's obviously got a great film scene. What do you think about the ways that we are, how do we stack up today? And then what are some of the ways that we probably could even get to the next level? What are some of your thoughts on that?
Well, I think in 2019, Atlanta definitely rivals places like LA when it comes to the film and television industry. You have a lot of the directors coming to this place to shoot their movies, to shoot their television shows. You know, Black Panther was one of the biggest movies last year, and that was, they shot some of those scenes primarily here in Atlanta. Right. And so it's right here where a lot of that business is beginning to happen. So this is definitely a new place, and I think that's why it's so rare now that you meet anyone that is actually from Atlanta, because we are becoming like places like New York, like places like LA. And I think that if we just continue to inspire other creatives, we'll get to the next level to be like LA. Yeah. And if we continue to grow and inspire more people to join the movement of being creative and being an entrepreneur and starting your own.
Yeah, I think you hit on something there. I've always loved being around a diverse group of people and people who think differently. I'm under the opinion that the more diverse thought that you're around, the stronger you are. And maybe this is an evolutionary concept, I'm not sure. But the more people you're around that has, you know, we can all be creative, but we're still different people. We're still different human beings. We got our own ways of thinking and loving and being creative. And I think the more diverse, sometimes I feel a little bad for those people who live in a society or wherever that might be in the world where it's just like myopic, where it's just me and just 8 people who are just like me, as opposed to a place like Atlanta and where I grew up in New York, where is every single human being that's on the planet Earth is around here somewhere. So
it definitely and honestly speaking, that is what helps you to be creative. It's kind of hard to be creative when you're around the same thing all the time. You know, if you're a box and you're around other boxes, it's hard to envision what a circle is like. It's hard to envision what a triangle is like. But when you're around many different shapes, many different colors, many different ideas, it helps to spark that creativity in you and gives you something to continue to pull from all the time.
Yeah, you're right. I love the fact that you can go to a play about one genre that's been written by one group of people today, and then tomorrow you can go to another play, for example, then and has another group of people that you've never been exposed to. I just, you know, it's just to me that just sounds like such a human desire or a human goal is to be around different things and to bring things in, and that includes not just like theater, but includes things like music and films and so forth. I'll watch a black and white film made from Italy in a minute, because I just, you know, I just love to take in different creative stuff that's all over the place.
Right.
So Cornelius, when you think about, you know, when you think about those who you've obviously got this great roadmap, and you know you're going to do so many amazing things here over the next, you know, short period of time. You know, you're already like a household name in many, many spots. Who are some of the people that you've looked up to or that's helped you along the way in regards to your own creativity and your own path?
Well, just speaking, you know, intimately in my life, one of my biggest inspirations definitely has been my mother. My mother, she is a hairstylist. And in my family, you know, where people did more traditional jobs as far as, you know, doctor, nurse, things of that nature, she was one of the first to step out and do something different and do something that was creative. And she followed her dreams and her passions despite what people thought or felt. And now she's a salon owner, a business owner herself. And she definitely inspired me as a young boy to follow my dreams and to follow what I innately feel inside of me that I'm created to do, and what I was created to make a difference in this world with. So I pursued that. And then along the way, meeting other, as you say, creatives. I have a friend, his name is Jeremiah Roberts, who owns a company called Fashion Mister, where he styles, he started off styling his friends, and now he styles celebrities. He continued to grow and continued to push himself until he got to that point. Meeting people like yourself, you definitely inspired me in writing your own piece, and then funding your piece and pushing your piece and believing in your piece and not letting obstacles stop you from putting Super Loser out there. Those people like you and Jeremiah and my mother are the people that definitely inspire me and push me and keep that fire underneath
me. Well, thank you so much. I tell you, when you said Jeremiah's name, I swore I know Jeremiah from somewhere. I might have to look him up.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. Fashion Mister is the name of his company. He's a stylist, and he styles you know, celebrities. Shay Johnson, who's on Love & Hip Hop Miami, he styled her. So, you know, look him up.
Well, you can tell what kind of TV I watch, because as soon as you said Shay Johnson, I immediately knew who you were talking about. I watch all of those kind of shows. It was funny the other day. It was what I think it was the Golden Globes or something that was on, and all of the shows that came on when they were doing the movie part. I've watched all of the movies that are most of the movies that are going to be nominated for something. But the TV shows that they were talking about, I didn't know what was going on. And I was like, wow, they need an award show just for the Ratchet shows. They need some of them.
And the Ratchet Award goes to.
That's right. You know, that creates some drama around there. You know, speaking of your mom, you just gave me an idea. Just, you know, I've seen some of her hairstylings on Instagram, and they are so unbelievably intricate and amazing. One of the things I think that's, and I think we've shared this a lot with the charity's goal, is that it's about people being creative no matter what they do. And her artwork, maybe I'm using that term a certain way, but it's like artwork when I see those pictures. I may invite her to the podcast. I think that might be a good idea, because I think that'd be cool to talk to her. So, Cornelius, it's been awesome to have you here so far. So, one of the things that we always do, but before we do that, tell us a little bit about some of the things that you're working on, some of the things that you're involved in right now.
Well, right now, I am currently in a show that I'm sure many people have heard of. It's A Raisin in the Sun.
Wow.
I'll be playing Walter Lee. It will go up in May, so please look for it. It'll be at the Barefoot Playhouse Theater in Alpharetta, Georgia. So I'm super excited about this production. We just had a reading last weekend, and I got to meet the cast. It's an extremely talented cast. I mean, I feel like I have to, you know, work on my craft after meeting these people, because they are really amazing, and I'm really excited to work alongside these creators and these actors. I also am working on starting my own company because I want to give back to the community, and when we talk about inspiring other creators and making Atlanta that next LA, I want to give back and have my own acting classes and be able to inspire other people to follow their dreams, people that thought that maybe they couldn't do it or that they don't know where to get started. I want to help those kind of people to give them a kickstart.
Wow. That is great. Well, I will definitely be in the house for Raising in the Sun. Anywhere you are, I'm going to be there. So you said May, right? Is when it's going to be?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Scheduled for towards the end of May.
That is great. So everyone that's out there, please check out Cornelius. It's going to be amazing. Just him alone, I know, is going to be great. What was the other one that I went to see last year that you were in? What was that?
It was Joe Turner's Come and Gone.
Oh, yeah. That was really, really cool. I was so...
It's by August Wolf.
Yeah, I was so excited about that. That was great. So when you think about... So as we wrap up here, when you think about someone out there and they say, well, I used to write this in the past, or I used to be an actor, or I used to do this creative pursuit, but then I decided to not do it for whatever reason. The world got in the way, or I've always wanted to. What's one big piece of advice you can give someone who's thinking about their creativity and getting started or reigniting it?
The biggest advice I can give anybody is one word, and that's jump. If you've ever been on any sort of roller coaster or any sort of theme park ride or bungee jumping, you know it's always scariest right before that fall. And when you are trying to be creative, it can be terrifying. It can be scary because you won't know where you're going to step. You can't see the path clearly. You won't know how it's going to work out. You'll have all these doubts and insecurities, but you have to push those things aside and just jump and go for it. And if this is a passion that you desire, as long as you keep hitting at this rock, it'll eventually break. As long as you keep chiseling away, it'll eventually fall apart, and you'll get to your goal. You'll get to the goal that you're trying to strike to. You'll get to that job, get to that play, you'll get to that business, that building, whatever you're trying to go for. But the first thing you have to do is just jump. You can't think about it. You can't try to plan it, because the more planning you try to do to wait, you'll never get there. So, you know, people all say, I'll do it when I have this, or I'll do it when I have that, or I'll do it when this is together, or I'll do it when the kids grow up, or you'll never make it. So you just have to jump, because there's always going to be something that's going to try to stop you and discourage you from following your dreams. But if you just jump, everything will eventually fall into place.
Well, everyone that's out there, whatever you're doing and whatever you're ready to go, just jump. Just get up and jump. I love that. That sounds like a webinar. Just get up and jump. That's great, Cornelius. That's fantastic. I think I said this with someone else on one of our previous podcasts that had a term that I remembered like that, where I said the next 10 people I'm gonna talk to, I'm going to tell them to do what that person was saying. But I think I'm gonna do it with what you just said too. Next 10 creatives I talk to them and say, what's going on with you? You got to go jump. You just gotta get out there. You just gotta jump, because you're right. And there's an example even of myself who, well, always been creative throughout my life. And once I got to a certain point, I said, I just can't wait. I just can't wait for someone to say, you know what? Now you're good enough. Now you can be accepted. I had to at some point jump. And the way we met was sort of my leap of jump. You know, I said, I'm going to have an audition for a play, not knowing all of the things I needed to do at the time in order to make it happen. But I said, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. And we had this amazing turnout, and you were one of the people that came in and did such an amazing job. Because if you don't jump to what you're sharing, you won't get to know people who can help you succeed in life as well. you know.
Exactly.
That's the goal of the Rising Tides, is that, you know, and that's where we kind of got our name, is that the more people that you interact with as you're trying to go on this journey, the more not only you are helping yourself get to where you need to be, but there's a decent likelihood that you can help them get to where they need to be at the same time. That's the key thing. As opposed to, I get it and you don't get it. No, let's just do it together. So it's been great having you, Cornelius. Any parting words for the audience here? You know, I'm going to, before you do the parting words, how can people contact you if they need to contact you?
Absolutely. You can contact me. I have my own website, CorneliusJefferson.com. And I want to spell that because I know people have an issue when it comes to that Cornelius. It can be difficult. Let it CORNELIUS, CorneliusJefferson.com. You can find me on Facebook at Cornelius Jefferson. You can also find me on Instagram and Twitter at @TheCornelius_J.
Wow. Good luck on all of that. And you know, I am in your corner. So anyway, you need help with your endeavors, you know, the teaching and anything else, let me know. You are always cast in a play, you know, you're just whatever play that I have in the future, you're automatically cast. That's it.
Thank you.
any parting words for our audience that we have out here that's listening to you?
Yes, I want to thank anybody that has listened this long and listened to me talk. I really appreciate it. It makes me feel good. So awesome. To know that you think that what I have to say is important. Continue to be creative, whatever it is in whatever area that you work on. Continue to strive. Don't give up. Even in the hard times, press, because hard times only last but for a season. And eventually your time will come.
That is great. So everyone that's listening to our voice out there, we hope you have been able to take at least one tidbit from our conversation today that'll inspire you, or you can share this with other people. Please, when you see this, you may see this on Facebook. Please feel free to share it with your audience or to anyone else you would like to. We're also on Podbean, and you may also be listening to us on iTunes. So if you are listening to us in any one of those places, feel free to subscribe and to make some comments. We would love your comments. Comments only help us grow. If you have any suggestions about people, we've got a great slate of people that are in the queue for us to have this podcast with, but we're always growing. I make this joke every single podcast that we can conceivably have a podcast every single day, because there's so many amazing people in our city that we can talk to. And we also have some podcasts upcoming that are actually moving outside of Atlanta. We've got some people that are from different parts of the country. So as we continue to grow and support other people, please feel free to be part of our journey. So thanks again, Cornelius. It's been awesome and wonderful to have you, as always. Thank you for joining us today on the Rising Tides podcast.
Thank you.